We would like to thank our chief sponsor, Reckless Brewing Company. Check them out at recklessbrewing.com. Use the events tab and you can find our Nerd Out Nights every other Monday. Me, David, and Jeremy will there be there. Be there derper.
David, no! Keep going! Keep going!
If you're not local to Reckless, you can still check out our other sponsor, DannyPirateStudios.com. Danny's got minis, terrain, and more. Let him know that Fantasy Pants sent you by using the code FANTASYPANTS at checkout.
Some spice? Spicy peppers? No, I'm Pepper from Pepper's Peppers here on the Dinsing Market and some stock going. You should come on by and try our new selections. We've been breeding some new ones. We got ourselves the Jules Pepper. It's brand new. It's a, you know, Jules LaRoche. Well, it looks pretty cool. It's got that mottled Starry Night kind of design. This little lump on it looks like a pompadour. It tastes pretty good. You should try it out. Selling out everywhere. So, yeah. Dinsing Night Market, Samsung Go. Is that my time? I'm out. Oh, what's our time? Pepper's going. Quick, Jules. Give us a. What's our catchphrase? Do the catchphrase.
You son of a bitch, you're putting me on the spot. That's our catchphrase.
You son of a bitch, you're putting me on the spot. That's Dinsing Night Market. So go, Pepper. Right, see you later.
I often wonder about Pepper.
I didn't want to write a recap or an Orin. So I was like, we'll do commercials. Commercials are easy.
I love it. That means that when we return to the Citadel, we get a higher payout from Pepper's Peppers, right?
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, you can't swear on the network.
Oh. Jeremy.
Oh, you know.
You can't swear on the network. That's not usable.
That's some easy cash.
You're saying I just got Pepper a fine?
You got Pepper a fine.
Shit.
All the money he was going to make towards you actually went to paying the fine. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
the FFCC. The fantasy, I don't know what the rest of FCC is.
The AFCC, Atosh's FCC. Oh, so guys. Stupid indeed.
We are stupid, Stephen.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time.
Man, what are we doing again?
I think we're in a closet.
You're in a closet. A lot of people are in closets, actually. Well, almost just you in one closet with your sidekicks, with Diva Luma, with Jules. Just you, Steven. I don't know. Anyway, on the other side of this room, though, we also have another closet. And it's pretty funny. I actually have the map for this now. You only see a tiny piece of it.
Yeah,
so I'm only giving you a
closet.
You're in a closet. You see a closet. I'm not showing you what's outside of it because that door's closed.
Who farted?
We'll talk about when we get into it, but like when you moved into the room, as you kind of pushed in there, I imagine Harlan closed the door behind you, kind of wanted to keep like whatever's going on here sort of separate just to, you know, keep things safe, keep people from panicking. But ideally, he's probably outside that door. Guess you don't know because it's closed. But it's funny, though, because this closet that you're in right now is only like 15 by 10 feet. It's pretty small.
I noticed this map.
It's pretty small.
We're taking up the entire space.
You were taking up the like pretty much the entire closet space. We got ourselves a Shea Lounge. You can see. Let me move old Diva Luma so you can see the glory of your Shea Lounge here. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, that is lovely.
Is
oh my goodness!
Isn't that great? There's two more of those because we're idiots.
Is that a Rochelle Shea's Lounge or
it
is that a?
It's
oh
a
my goodness!
Awesome. Yeah,
I gotta zoom way in.
She
awesome.
Hooked us up. Look at that. Zoom into the Shea's Lounge. Look at the seams. You just want to line that thing.
Oh, tufted.
Tell Rochelle
or
all
something.
Your problems.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Tufted.
A beautiful teal color. It's very inviting.
It's very beautiful. It's funny because like we know that Amos Near and Larissa also went into a separate dressing room. And this dressing room that they're in is like 10 by 10 and filled with clothes. So they're like crouched up together, like no space at all.
Dude, yeah,
it makes
like,
it even funnier.
Yeah, but pause the recording right now. Go measure your bedroom.
Like,
no. I'm guessing that, like, if you're lavish, you have like a 12 by 12 bedroom. You know what I mean? I feel like that's pretty normal.
Man, I never really thought about that way. I always assumed it was really small.
I don't think it's lavish. But
I mean, we started this podcast in that room. You guys remember how small it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
It was very, very small.
Huh.
Or we're just very, very big.
Damn.
I bet this room is 10 by 10.
I guess no. I've measured it a couple times, but I forgot. But it's not 10 by 10.
I don't know what it is, but I know what it's not.
It's weird to think like 5 feet is the range. You always look at the tokens on the maps and they're right up against each other. But when you actually think about it, 5 feet's pretty good. Like 5 feet is you're swinging a sword that's pretty long and hitting somebody over there, you know? Right. Like, yeah. It's kind of interesting.
Weird, right?
Yeah. You know, when you look at just tokens on paper, you don't really, I guess it's hard to imagine what it all really looks like. Anyway, hopefully we see more of this grand room you guys are staying in. We have the entire suite here. It's glorious as always. Rochelle killed it, but you can't see it yet because you're in a closet.
This grand, giant 10 by 15 foot closet.
You're in the closet with the killer.
And somebody found it.
So I should ask, gentlemen, anything you want to talk about before we get into this combat? Before we just dive in off the big old, what do I want to say, diving board? Isn't there a word for those things?
All I want to know is, where's the Sirenscape, baby?
All right. We got some Sirenscape in here. But it's not what you expect.
Oh, no. Sad things happen to this music.
That's the flashback sound.
It is the flashback sound. We are doing a kind of a flashback here. We're not flashing back very far, though. Just a matter of minutes to earlier in our last episode. See, I need you to bear with me for a minute here. I hate to do this, but I'm going to spend a touch of time talking to myself. It's not something I love to do. I do not love this. You know I do not love this.
That's like 90% of this show.
Normally I'm talking to you, at least, but now you gotta talk to me and respond to me, and then me has to sort of interject in there somewhere too. But you see, I need to remind you, I think it's important to establish the stakes, to remind you of exactly who you are about to be fighting for, because right now you are very much in a hostage situation. The bees, like a bullet in a gun, is primed and loaded somewhere just off the sort of out of your sight, waiting to pull some trickery. But in the midst of all this danger, with this threat unbeknownst, we see this opulent suite, this suite that is the master suite belonging to Amos Nir, just loaded with chaise lounges. 5 rooms, 2 main chambers, 2 dressing rooms and a bathroom, sort of in between the 2 dressing rooms. 5 rooms and 9 former suspects. 9 fates in flux, 9 stories currently without endings, all waiting on our heroes to illuminate the shadows that lie between them. We're going to zoom in a couple of little vignettes, little scenes amongst these 9. And we'll start in that 10 by 10 closet previously mentioned, where Amos mutters to himself in the silence of this second dressing room. Larissa stands in the corner watching her master, her father. Her usual stoic expression is revealing its cracks, the tiniest fragments of concern touching her features. These cracks seeming to spread as Amos just mutters the absolute humiliation. We'll show them, though, Larissa. Your brother will show them, but it can wait. It can wait until they solve this little problem. Point their fingers at who would dare kill my blood in my home. We'll get even, Larissa, won't we? Won't we? Oh, yes, yes, we'll get even with them all. He turns around to look at Larissa as if finally realizing she hasn't been responding, and enthusiastic agreement in his brow furrows just a little. You have concerns? Speak your mind. No, sir, I speak, child. She swallows. I just... Would you mourn me, father, if it was I that died? What? I'm sorry, sir. I just thought maybe you wouldn't. Larissa, cut your foolishness. You are my heir, my true heir. To the public eye, you are my most invaluable servant. Nobody would dare harm you. With the will of the witch misdirected as plans, you will be perfectly safe. Yes, but if enough of this, Larissa. This day has brought many trials. I do not need your nervous rambling. It's not like you. Yes, of course. I'm sorry, Father. And as silence falls between the two, we move away from this. Out the doors of the closet, into the sort of master bedroom itself, where alongside the sort of grand, sort of covered, canopied bed, we see Ledoux is just finishing up the seams to fix Jean Franklin's torn banner. DePiero, standing above him, kind of scratches at his chin with a sort of prideful smile.
I have to say, I never thought I'd see you sewing my son's banner for him. And without insult or argument, too.
Oh, well, I suppose Jean Franklin is still a muscle-minded oaf, but I guess he has some finer points. How to face him now after admitting such is
just a snort from the beer. Do you know not how to speak with each other without some form of combat involved? A luminary and a financial advisor to the Lord of the Golden Bay, yet boys still.
That's not... We just... He could have helped us, you know. We shared the same goals, didn't we? Find evidence of Proud Eden and expose Amos Near. He could have...
No, we didn't share the same goals. Sure, perhaps they aligned in a way, but our reasoning differed greatly. In degrees, I could be seen as an altruist. My goal has ever been to see the rise of our people, but Jean's altruism is a simple, honorable thing. He saw wrong and wanted to correct it. No forethought, no strategy, just goodness. He would have tossed me aside in an instant if he thought it was the right thing to do. It's no wonder he's become so successful as a luminary. Yet, I do have some regrets in not telling him sooner of our plans. When this is through, I am going to speak with him. I'll tell him everything, and hear his judgment. Though I am nervous to hear it. I fear I've been a rather harsh father, and have earned little benefit. We slide away from those two. Slide away from the raising banner of the Golden Bay to a weeping Samira Ara, who quietly stares towards the closed door where Fyodor Popov has just been taken in. And we hear a shuffling of steps as a figure moves up before her. She glances up to see Xenia Ruba, standing awkwardly, eyes swimming with tears of her own. And behind her, a smiling Margus lightly pushes her forward.
Go on.
She steps closer to Samira and slowly raises a trembling hand. The same hand one might think that killed Meloara. There's a frozen moment. Samira does not move to accept the outstretched hand. She does not move a muscle, but she does, after a moment, speak.
My Melo always hated these parties. He hated any reminder of our station, of the privileges of our station.
Yeah, he was a real rebel, in his own way.
Yet this time he was different leading up to the March of Vice. He was happy. I take it this was your doing?
And Samira's eyes flicker to Xenia's hand, which begins to weakly pull back. She reaches out and snatches it with her own, a firm yet tender grip, and new tears spill down her cheek, running to the edges of her newly forming smile.
He was a wonderful young man, wasn't he?
He was.
They embrace, and Margus watches, grinning wide.
You could have told me, you know. I would have been ecstatic to have you as a daughter-in-law. I wouldn't have had a room swapped at the least.
I thought you knew. When Melo approached me last year, he was sweet. He told me he had gotten some womanly advice on how to woo me.
Well, it certainly wasn't my advice.
Then who?
The door opens as Fyodor steps out, and everyone goes quiet watching the scene as he moves back into the room. As after a moment of deliberation, Jules calls for Diva Luma to be brought forward in chains. And the three, Margus, Xenia, Samira, share a look. And we pan to that doorway. The shackled Diva Luma is led inside, and as it closes, Harlan turns towards the room, keeping his back to the door and listening for Jules' request. He has his ears honed in on the dressing room behind. His eyes wander to the trio across the room. And on Xenia they stay, filling with a hunger, a need for forgiveness, for redemption, filling with the pain he inflicted on her. Just a stiff moment, and then he barks an order to Grumby, his second-in-command, and to the two officers that linger at the nearby door.
Stay sharp, you lot. No more mistakes. All my life, no one else dies in this palace.
And their crisp salute is interrupted as the main door bursts open, and Blanche Trudeau rushes in. And here we push back to the now. Blanche, you charge into the room. Blade song ringing out. Trustyke ready to go. You step in the room and Harlan slowly closes it behind you, staying positioned, listening as ordered. And we trot to the true now. To a question posed by Jules. Do you know who I am? And an answer. Oh, I know exactly who you are, my lord.
So creepy.
Diva Luma stares at you. No, into you, deep behind your eyes.
If you can see me, my lord, if you are in there, my true name is Kala Marbarine. My mother was a staunch supporter. I am sorry about the state of your shell here.
And flicker. She's not looking into you anymore, but at you, Jules.
Tell me, Jules. Did Zavar use my little present to him when you came to collect his head? If I remember right, that half-dragon fella had gone quite wild on the network footage of your fight. Just my luck, you would have seen my bees' breath before strolling onto my little plot here. Yet now Uncle Zavar is dead and gone. And you aren't ashamed to touch, are you? Despite everything he did for you. You aren't even remotely ashamed. You could be a hero, Jules. A real hero, not like the fluffed-up little luminaries that prance around the screens of our worlds doing nothing of real importance yet being worshipped by the masses. You could be so much better than them, than us. Yet despite everything your parents gave you, you chose the wrong side. I would never be so selfish. Throwing away my mother's teachings and gifts and propping up that self-righteous celestial ass. You're slaves, the both of you, slaves to Atash's will.
Tia looks around. Anyone disown deny it?
Your words are flowery, but something smells in here, and I think it was you.
Funny. Just look at you. Helping him assault Papalatian Hill. Killing Zavar and having Itzman Del Prado gifted to Atash's sky prison. And what a little old me, huh? You're not gonna let me go free, so what are you gonna do if you manage to kill me? What will you do when they come to take my body away, to have me revived, to suffer lifetimes in the sky prison? Your side locks people in cages, don't forget that. Or my side sets them free.
Your side is evil, and evil people will meet a righteous end.
Righteous. That's what Atash is. Righteous.
I can't say that Atash is perfect, but, well, he's better than you.
There's no good sides in war, and this is a war. Don't you forget that. Everyone chooses a side eventually. Even Sholei and a stubborn neutrality will fall one way or another in this war.
You chose wrong.
I chose wrong. Do you have any idea what's going on out there? Any idea that our worlds are dying? Crumbling away and being consumed by the very planes that form them. Some are stripped down to the raw elemental bases while others leak nightmares into the land like pus from seeping wounds. It's gonna get worse and worse. Until only the strong remain. Yet in Atash's design, the weak pull down the strong. And everyone is made equally helpless before the coming storm. Only true freedom can save our worlds. Only Zomate Shab's freedom.
So what do you propose? You don't appear to be the strong one here. Are we supposed to let you walk out and take your word that you won't release this monster of yours?
I think we both know that's not gonna happen. And you know what? You know what? That's just fine by me. Because I'm so very glad to have another chance at you, Jules. The remaining heirs, that's my little personal quest, but in killing you now, I'm gonna save the world.
You know how many people have said that exact same fucking thing? And you're less than all them.
We'll see.
All right, Blanche wants to attack this bitch.
You go, you're prime ready. You're going to move as, like, we start with initiative here. You see her hand slides in the folds of her ruffled skirt, clutching at something. Her eyes flash red in this moment, and a hoarse whisper rolls from the back of her throat. You just hear, priority, a chill wind suddenly runs through this dressing room. Everyone roll for initiative, and Blanche, as a matter of course for your true strike, your setup here, I'm going to give you advantage on this initiative roll.
Oh, sweet.
You're the first to kind of like, you were ready. You were prime ready for this fight. You were holding for this moment.
All right, so Jules got a 14. Chester got a 17.
Blanche only got a 16. Let me roll Jean's real fast.
I mean, hey, so far, three of us are pretty up there.
Natural one for Jean Franklin.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Is that just a one?
No.
That's just a one.
Okay.
No modifier.
Oh, that's rough. That is rough. Let me make a couple rolls here. Blanche, you go to strike out with your sword. The metal sings. Your blade is honed in to strike true. Yet before you have a chance, she's just so fast. She slides into this sort of secret pocket, whips out this, looks like a small sort of jar or vial. Almost looks like a perfume jar.
Fuck.
And it's already opened and shooting out towards you before you have a chance to react.
Oh, fuck.
I rolled pretty good.
So here's what I was going to try to do. You tell me if it's too late. Blanche has a racial trait, along with Jean Franklin, called hold breath, where they can hold their breath for up to an hour at a time. It doesn't say if there's an action required or anything. It just says you can hold your breath for up to an hour at a time.
It's very cool. And yeah, you definitely can be in that state, holding your breath. You knew what to expect.
Whew.
Or did you? Because as this liquid comes sloshing out, you realize there's no pink powder here. This is something different.
Oh, you son of
a... Don't blame me for this one. Blame our friend, Andrew.
Holy Forge!
Oh, my God.
Blame him for this little concoction known as Hungry Moss. Perhaps another jungle witch secret. Let me read this thing for you guys. This is an Andrew original.
I almost wish you wouldn't, but
smashing this bottle upon a surface causes the liquid inside to coat all objects and creatures in a 10-foot-wide sphere that fail a DC 13 dexterity save. Any with liquid mans immediately erupts in a thick moss which begins devouring the targets, as long as it is not magical or made of stone or metal. Each coated target takes 1d12 acid damage when the moss grows, and again at the start of the turn as the moss digests them. Oh. They can make a DC 13 constitution saving throw at the start of their turn. After taking this damage on success, they may use their action to remove the moss from their person.
Horrible.
Absolutely, but you can also allow you to have someone else use an action and move it off of somebody else, too.
I call OP.
It's pretty gnarly. Oh, just you wait. It's going to get worse than you think. So let me mark down where in this tiny closet this is going to cover.
I mean, is she going to make a save, too? We're in a small closet. It's gonna It's gonna splash everywhere.
It said break on the surface and 10-foot square.
Ten foot sphere.
Sphere.
So I'm trying to decide if I aim it high. You know what? She is gonna take it too.
You did put yourself in the
middle. There's a reason why I could aim this up, I believe, but I'm not going to for certain reasons. Which means everyone except for Jean is making a save.
Oh, because it's Dex. And she has like 1,000 dex. Dex save?
Dex save from each of you. DC 13.
Plus 4, I'm going to just roll it. That's a little better than 50-50 for me. Come on, baby. Oh, natural 2!
Oh,
fuck.
No.
That's a 2!
Fuck.
What do you got, Jules?
Oh, God.
You also got to do one for Chester.
I know. Oh, David, that's a nice drawing of the...
Look at how hungry that moss is.
Hang on, I'm going to take a picture so we can post this.
I can just take a screenshot.
Yeah, do that. That'll be better.
There you go.
God, do I use a button? I'm more scared that... Fuck, I'm gonna use a button.
Oh shit, okay. For who?
Jules.
Okay. Okay. I'll take your button, sir.
I needed it.
Okay.
13 on the die plus 4.
Wow. That'll
do all it. Right.
First one was a 6 on the die plus 4.
Oh, yikes, man.
All right. Let me see here. Okay. Fuck it. Fuck. 5 on the die.
All right. Oof. This moss flies out. Or you see like this liquid, like she throws the jar, it goes flying as it smashes this clear liquid that's filling it, you know, sort of sloshes out, and you see little flecks of moss, like little green flecks that like land upon you like spores and just kind of boom, explode, spreading rapidly, all, you know, just covering you. Jules, as this happens, you're able to weave back, but Blanche, you were sort of in the moment trying to like weave in. Your offensive position essentially puts you at risk of this. As you're kind of moving in, already in stance to strike, this takes you by surprise, sort of splashes off your blade, and in that moment you like find yourself slow, which is why like you're kind of holding off initiative a little bit more than I can imagine you thought you would be. Jean off to the side, just, no, sir! Chester just, God, John, Jules, just kind of gets covered, and this thing just sort of covers you all. I'm going to roll some damage now. 1d12 as it strikes you, and again at the start of your turns, till this moss is gone. Only 4 damage on both of you.
Okay.
As this splashes around, roll me a perception check.
Another natural 1.
Okay.
Getting him out of the way.
God.
You can roll for Chester and Jean as well.
God, a 2. A 2 on the die.
Chester got 17.
So, okay.
Chester the wise.
Chester's the only one. He's kind of like reeling back from this, kind of back against the wall. He opens his eyes and looks around at you guys, assessing the situation, looks down at the floor and hears the slight creaking. The floor! It's eating through the floor!
God.
Anything not metal. The floor is wood.
The floor is not metal. Diva Luma. Decidedly not metal.
Fuck.
It's making her escape.
Oh my god.
Once this moss eats through to a new exit. But that's all she's doing on her turn. She just kind of splashes out at you and she laughs a little bit. You'd be surprised what a woman can hide in her makeup and perfume kits. My mother taught me tricks aplenty. And on that note, as she mentions those words, my mother, that wind, that cold breeze filling this room seems to strengthen. And somewhere just outside the door to the south, into the sort of main room, you can hear.
Already?
That killed my throat.
Good. You ass.
You don't see what happens out there. And that's going to be Chester.
Okay, is it D12?
Oh, yes, right. I'm rolling my D12 out of the jar, out of the jar.
Oh, it happens at the time and then at the beginning of the turn?
That is. Let me double check.
I think it said that you get a save first.
Do we get a save?
After and then taking their damage. So you take 7 more damage on Chester by you making a save.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is wild.
Holy shit. So wait. So if he passes this, then he can use an action
to get rid of it.
To get rid of it.
Yep.
But he has to pass it.
Yes.
In order
gotta
to
pass
to
it first.
Fucking
yeah,
hell.
Then you get the opportunity to. Oh, wow.
Second button.
Okay.
This is.
Wow.
It's a
that
gross
shit's
one.
Not fucking around.
It's not fucking around.
That shit's not fucking around.
Once you get inspiration out there, that'll help a lot, but.
Fuck me.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That was 2. Twice.
Oh my god, okay.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Okay. And with that, it's Chester's turn. What do you want to do? He's still on it, but he can still see.
Right,
he can still act.
He can
still fight.
Yeah, he's going in for a melee with his warhammer.
He just kind of like pull it. Maybe he tries for a second. He's like, shit. Instead, he's just going to like pull out his weapon and just go in. Hell yeah.
It's only a 9.
9 to hit?
Yep.
Okay.
We're positioned in this awful way where...
Yeah, we did not choose these positions.
Well, like, there's 4 of us all next to Diva Luma, but we don't get flanking at all.
Yeah.
You can move through. He could move around.
Well, right. Somebody could move. But yeah. I'm saying, yeah, just, yeah, it's funny. Like,
pause the fight, guys. Let's shuffle around. Here, you go here, because if you go here, you can hit it from there.
Dima Luma, would you terribly mind stepping over here so we can get a plus two?
All right, fine. All right, then. With that, moving on to Blanche Trudeau. Blanche, what are you doing?
All right.
You finally kind of brace yourself. Chester goes into swing, and that kind of like gets you in a position where you can move. Maybe he like breaks some moss that's kind of holding back your foot. Oh, my God, the buttons are coming out.
Flashback.
What?
Ooh.
What? Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
Pay my button for flashback. We did institute the flashback rule, right?
You did.
For this.
Don't. It's in. I did that. The flashback rule is in effect. You had time before you split off to make plans, to do what you had to do. We had plenty of time not looking at these characters on the screen. What didn't we see?
When Blanche realizes in the salon what's happening and who the bad guy is, as she's running up the hall, she reaches into her pocket and she pulls out a vial of phase spider venom.
Holy shit.
Ooh.
And applies it to her blade.
Nice.
Holy shit. Okay. Okay.
So now here, with True Strike already cast, as a bonus action, she's going to cast Shadow Blade using my final third level spell slot, and then she'll go in for an attack with her sword.
Shadow Blade would be a different weapon, correct? It doesn't coat your sword in shadow, it just creates a blade of shadow.
Hold on. I think you can use it on a thing.
Okay. I'm honestly fine ruling that way anyway, because that's cooler. Your damage changes to Shadow Blade's damage.
Right. No, you're totally right. I thought it like turned your thing into a thing, but it says you weave together threads of shadow to create a sword of solidified gloom in your hand.
Solidified gloom is the coolest. That hits so hard. I'm okay ruling it that it's going to cover your blade. You're going to lose your plus one when you're attacking with this from your sword, but you will gain the poison benefit. I'll allow that much.
Okay. All right.
You're putting points into this.
Okay. That's fine. I'm happy with that.
Okay. And honestly, flashback to bring back the phase spider venom.
Phase spider venom.
Indeed. Honestly, ooh. I'll say it. Really, really great circumstance to do it. Take your button back.
Oh.
Take your button back. I'll give you a button for this. This is pretty cool.
That never happens.
I didn't even have to remind you because I was just about to say that deserves a button.
It did deserve a button. Hey, what can I say?
All right.
I'm using my jar. You used your jar. There's a jar of superior healing here too. Let's bring all Andrew's jars out tonight.
So it's only a plus seven to hit now, but that's okay because I got advantage because True Strike.
That's true.
Okay, so 19 was the first, 17 on the die plus 7, so.
Yeah, you're good. You hit.
We're good. So.
Holy shit, this is gonna hurt.
Yeah, the Shadow Blade is 3d8 plus whatever the hell this spider venom is. Is that 48?
That is 48. It's 48. Roll right out of the jar.
Oh my god.
Hold on.
So that's four. Man. Here's five. I need two more D8s.
Oh, he's adding to the jar.
Okay. My hope is that we can put Diva Luma down in one hit. Because she just came back from consciousness.
I will tell you, Diva Luma does not look fully there. She's not fully healed. She's very injured still.
We can't kill her outright, though.
I don't care right now.
I know, but we know what happens when she dies.
Happens when she dies?
The Beeza goes out
of control. The Beeza goes fucking crazy.
But it's also,
I thought the Beeza was already here.
It is.
It's
going to
kill everybody.
What's the Beeza going to do when she's dead that it's not going to do right now?
I guess the only thing is you wouldn't have any chance to negotiate the Beeza out of this. If she goes down, this thing has to be dealt with through...
It won't stop.
Phantom violence.
Huh. Okay. I didn't realize negotiation was... All right. Well, you know what? Let's roll all the D8s and let's see what happens. Take it as it comes.
She doesn't seem like she's willing to negotiate anymore anyway.
Right.
She wants Jules. She wants Jean. She wants Xenia. Maybe she wants you.
Here we go.
Holy moly, it's a lot of dice.
There are a lot of twos.
Oh no.
But there's a lot of them.
26 is the total.
Wow.
With four twos.
I do get to make a save. to take half damage from the poison, I realized.
Ah, yes.
I'm going to try to make that save. I'm basically off of the face spider venom. Here's the fun thing, though. I want to point out, this is really cool.
And also, if we need to half the damage, I have the colored dye
yeah,
to tell
so
us
cool.
exactly awesome. Which ones are the,
isn't that
the
cool?
poison.
This is also really cool. In the last combat, while you never really end up utilizing it, Jules burned all of Divaluma's legendary resistances.
Hell yeah.
And that's once a day. They nice. Are not back from nice. That short rest. So, do you not get to override this?
I want to know if this will kill her if she fails.
That is a close... No. I can't as not as high as I thought. No, I fail.
Excellent.
Ooh. I've taken the full damage. How much was it?
Ooh. 26.
Holy moly. She is still up.
No!
But that looked like
come
it
on.
Hurt. This drove into the venom, this blue venom pulsates kind of off the edge of the blade
Fuck.
Into her veins. She got her eyes open wide. The poisoner poisoned!
Poison.
I love it.
Deception.
Ugh, you. You.
Holy shit. Following that is Jules.
All right, Jules is going to use his bonus action to cast Bardic Inspiration onto Blanche.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then he's going to use his action. So, I don't think I've ever used this spell. I think this is the first time I'm going to use it.
Oh, what is this?
I'm going to cast Enhance Ability onto Jester.
Excellent.
I'll read this real fast. You touch a... I'm next to Jester. You touch a creature and bestow upon it a magical enhancement. Choose one of the following effects. And then there's a list of effects you can have. I am choosing Cat's Grace. The target has advantage on dex. Well, shit, never mind.
Oh, you thought it was
not
saving
saves.
Throws?
It's not saves.
Damn.
It's checks.
Okay. There's actually something I really wanted to look into for this. I should have done. I actually didn't know yet that. Give me a quick second. I want to look up one thing real fast because there's something here I might be able to give you that I've been kind of cooking for a while. So just 2 minutes. 2 minutes, gentlemen. Okay. All right. So
I
here's
grabbed
the thing.
A beer.
Oh, wait. Good use of your 2 minutes.
I had time.
So here's the thing with Enhance Ability, right? For the most part, I think it's a reasonable spell. But there is one that gives you advantage on constitution checks, correct?
Correct.
This is a weird little homebrew thing. At least I'm willing to do this right now. If somebody wants to argue with me about it later on, tell me it's a bad idea, please go ahead.
I mean,
but this is a second level spot, and this is
a third level slot.
Third level.
Is it? Are you casting it?
And
it's third level.
And we are dealing with a homebrew potion.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. If we're dealing with a homebrew potion, other homebrew rules should apply.
Here's my homebrew thing.
Okay.
Strength checks. You know, that's going to help a lot. Athletics checks, this and that. Dexterity checks you're going to use to get over things. And a lot of skill checks rely on dexterity. Constitution has no fucking checks. Constitution checks, advantage on that, is essentially the most useless thing. I'm going to say that if you cast the Constitution variety of this, I'll give you advantage on saving
Ooh.
Throws. And I think that's
okay,
what
yes.
you wanted to cast because that is what your saving throw against the moss will be now that it's already covered.
Okay.
Chester.
Okay.
Right in. Tell us
cool.
about your constitution checks.
Tell us about that. Yeah, if you can have a constitution check, please let me know. I just can't think of one. It's always reactive when you use con. You drank poison or you're going to drown or something or you're running. I guess maybe if you're running a long time, you might argue that's a con check to like get around that. But some people might also do saving throws because you're still reacting to the environment. I don't know.
Cool.
It's a whole thing. Let's not get into it right now, Steven.
All right, cool. So instead of Cat's Grace, I'm going to use Bear's Endurance. The target has advantage on con checks. It also gains 2d6 temporary hit points.
Whoa!
Which
there
are
you go.
Lost when the spell ends, which is concentration for an hour.
That's
okay, so concentration,
really cool.
But,
yeah.
Roll 2d6. Give him to old Chester.
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 It didn't go all the way through.
Hold I was going to say, I was like, you're looking through, like you lost it or something.
It just went into the dice dimension.
All right, so that's 7.
Rolling into Narnia. 7, okay. Chester just kind of, whoa. Oh, man, I feel great. Oh. I've been working out. Muscles up a little bit, just body gets a little firmer. He feels like less pain from this moss eating him. He's like, all right. That's pretty damn cool.
All right, and that's my turn.
That is Jules. Good turn,
Wait,
sir.
Actually, hold on. Can I jump on? Oh, no, I can't. She's in front of me. Never mind. I was going to jump onto the chaise lounge.
I'm just realizing that you didn't do your D12 to Blanche at the start of her turn.
Oh, I did not.
You
did
only
I?
Did it when the spell. Well, I'm sorry, but like.
Five.
Cool, great.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, you know what? You could have tried taking it off, but you didn't. You wanted to get some damage in, honestly. Good on you. Good
well,
on you.
I know. I'm still trying to think about.
And honestly, Jeremy, good on you. That's a cool spell.
Thank
I
you.
I know you had that spell.
Thank you.
I like that spell.
Thank you.
Take a button for that spell.
Thank you.
Yeah, take a button.
There you go.
I'm generous tonight. We're getting crazy up in here. We're getting
we never do buttons during combat.
I never do. Guess I like you guys tonight. It's been a rough summer.
He's just buttering us up because he's about to kill us.
Yeah, oh, butter.
Butter.
Grab me the knife. Okay, then. I'm going to do something kind of fun here.
Don't. I wish you wouldn't.
Yeah, what comes after that is never good.
I'm going to show you the players, not the characters, what's happening outside the doors.
Oh, yeah. We need to, like...
Oh.
We pan as this moment happens, Chester and strengthened as him and Blanche are being consumed by this moss that's eaten away at the floorboards beneath. Jean standing at the ready, Blanche having just struck. We pan out of that room and just outside. You might have been wondering why when you heard that howling, the scream from outside, this strange creature, why you didn't hear any other screams. No voices at all. But you see, outside the room, Harlan has indeed been listening, as ordered. And what you have not been seeing is the flashes of hand movements between him and other officers. And the quiet evacuation that has been happening just outside.
Oh, holy shit.
The royals have been split up and sent down different halls quietly as to not give away their movements to the killer.
Whoa.
Dude, the silent verse actually did their job.
Dude.
You told Harlan to listen. I can't ignore that.
Dude.
You kept her talking.
What if we had brought him in earlier?
High five.
Holy shit.
You kept her
talking.
Holy shit. The various royals have split up different parties. There's two silent verse officers that have joined each group as they're being led, like, quietly, carefully through the palace, outside different exits. They're getting out.
I suddenly feel much better about this whole thing.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
but
not,
I mean,
not for our purposes, but
the innocent people are not there anymore.
Yes.
For the most part. For as you peek out and you see, like, this creature screaming and screeching appears. You see this hazy, like, red spirit. Well, you see players. Characters don't see this yet.
Right.
This hazy red spirit standing in the very center of this room. It has this sort of, like, the shape of this older woman, but features sort of lost in this kind of ever-shifting ethereal mist that comes to surround it. Its mouth locked open too wide in this constant feral scream. And its phantom eyes bulging seem to linger on the door. It moves towards it, reaching out. And then behind it, we see an impression sort of sink down on the Shay lounge in the back corner of the room towards the balcony. As Harlan Burnshadow appears from invisibility, launching off, "Take this!" and slides down onto this creature, Harlan. Wanting redemption, Harlan stands with you.
Okay, I trust
Harlan. And you hear
Harlan
that.
Now.
You hear that from outside. You hear the scream. You hear Harlan shout as he comes in. I am going to actually roll damage on this thing with advantage from striking from invisibility. Because Harlan is... It's actually Harlan's turn right now.
Excellent. I know, when you said I'm going to do a couple rolls here, I was like, okay. Diva and the Biza, I'm guessing.
First attack of advantage and lands.
Whoa! Way out the box!
That almost hit my foot, David.
Both attacks are gonna land.
Harlan. Yes. Nice.
He is not able to go big. He did that already today. But Harlan is backing you up. Let's do some damage. Not too shabby. It's 12 damage totally does as he strikes out.
Nice.
Oh, sorry. It would have been 12 damage. Let me do something about that. Hang on. Don't worry about it.
That's what I was thinking.
Don't.
This whole time I was like, I wish Blanche knew more about Beezus or something.
What you don't see again is Harlan leaping off, sliding in, strikes down the thing with his sword once, twice, sort of two-handing it, and as the red haze parts beneath the blade, some of it sort of dissipates. most of it sort of re-coalesces. His blade is not fully functional, and this thing, proud Edun, this vengeful spirit turns her bulging eyes, her long fingers towards him. Well, Harwin's not done with his turn quite yet, because up to three allies with 120 feet of this Duergar that can hear it can use each of their reactions to make one weapon attack with call to attack. So you just hear,
"Rally, allies, rally and fight!"
And you guys feel this sort of like supernatural energy coursing. You feel spurred on. All of you can choose to make your reaction to attack.
Oh.
I'll take it.
Harlan is here. My reactions are precious. I honestly just looked at it. I forgot that I could. It was everybody. That is insane.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I stacked it against you this hard. It's a good thing.
All right, I'll take it.
Yep.
19.
19 will hit.
Excellent.
You didn't even make it in there.
Throwing tile over the floor. I'm excited.
Just juggling.
What? 16 damage.
What?
On 3d8. 5, 5, 6.
Oh.
Absolutely ridiculous. That is...
For a reaction?
Yeah. Oh, I'll take 16 damage.
Oh my gosh.
No.
No. Okay.
Not with a natural one.
Chester and Jean can also
make
that.
Yeah, Jean's here.
Okay.
Oh, 19 on the die for Jean.
Nice.
It's pretty good. That will hit.
When is Jean's damage going to go up? Oh! 5 on the d6 plus 2. Ooh. 7.
7 damage, huh?
Alright. You look like you're waiting to say something.
Yeah! Chess doesn't need to make his attack. Because Jean, as Diva Luma's like looking down to the floor, crouching down, you can see she's about to run. The voice of Harlan out like stops in her tracks. She looks up in some kind of shock and surprise, like things once again are not going as planned. In that instant, in that moment, that flash, Blanche strikes true again, right where the venom struck before. And then Jean comes sliding in with a spear. What's it look like when Jean finishes her off?
Jean, how gross do I be?
Oh.
Be gross. Be gross.
She, Diva Luma, maybe looks over Blanche's shoulder. Wait, no, the door's closed. There's no looking. Jean pokes her.
That was so gross. That was, dude. That was too, that was excessive.
I had like this whole idea. It was like through the doorway, like blood and stuff. And then I was like, wait, door's closed.
He just slides in, stabs out, takes her like deep in the chest, kind of off to the side, and she just kind of, her eyes go wide. They fall on her like, not you. And her head drops. Diva Luma has fallen. But the real threat lingers still outside.
All right.
Following Harlan's turn, because that was Harlan's turn, crazy enough.
Dude, Harlan's the man. MVP Harlan. Harlan, take a button.
Unfortunately, Diva Luma falls. As she does, you see the Beeza just kind of... Well, yes, Harlan sees the Beeza kind of snap ahead towards that direction. Just... kind of goes silent for a second. And then with this last sort of ghostly scream, arms shoot to the side, head rears up too high, just... an echoing scream, a wail that carries all through the manor down every hall. We see that just across the way from you here in this room, in this closet. Two have not escaped.
What?
Larissa Rin and Amos Nir, refusing to bow to the demands of the Duergar, refusing to listen when Harlan demanded they leave. And now as a scream, like the echoes across, they kind of look towards each other. And suddenly, the shadows in this room begin to sort of swirl together. Something begins to crawl, sliding up from the tendrils of blackness, forming the shape of a young man, a familiar man.
Get out.
Azra!
What? You? What are you?
Just outside the room. We see two Dwergar were standing at the ready to protect if needed. Fyodor Popov standing with them as another shadowy shape begins to crawl up from the down below. Another specter.
What the fuck?
Downstairs. You would not know this, but the specter that appears before Fyodor outside the dressing room is that of Amal Mata, killed by poisoned bloodletters during a riot.
What?
Downstairs.
Oh, no.
In the great entrance hall, as Margus, Zenya, and Samira charge towards the way, two Dwergar leading them, two spirits appear from the shadows before them. There's a scream from Samira as she looks to Mello Ara, eyes lost in death as he reaches forward. Zenya, no, Mello! And Arlavim, killed by his horse some time ago, appears behind them as well. They are boxed in. The Dwergar turning to either side and towards the back hall, right before the back exit, led by two other Silent Verse officers. De Piero and Ledoux stand before Jacopo Ain, killed this very morning by his family's owned poison guard, who reaches towards them. Five dead heirs. Five specters claimed by the Biza, and now she's going to use them.
We have to hope and believe that killing... I mean, like, our characters don't know, but...
Right.
I, Steven, am hoping and believing that by if we kill killing the Biza...
Yes.
They go away.
To add to your lack of knowing, I will say that as these shadowy specters begin to reach forward, as they move in to engage, this sort of a veil of swirling shadow sort of encompasses the area around them, blocking them off from your sight. I am blanking out the battles on the floor you stand in.
That's just rude.
It is rude. What happens in those fights? We'll find out later, because our camera is focused on this little closet where Diva Luma has just fallen. And that's going to be Jean Franklin.
Okay. Talk to me about opening doors.
Object interaction, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care.
Talk to me about pulling moss off of other people.
Action.
Okay.
And honestly, it's a con save to pull it off yourself, and because the pain's just, it's hard to like do it. I'm going to say you can, as an action, you could take it off somebody else. That just makes sense. If you can do it to yourself, somebody else can do it to you.
Okay, great. Those are the two things that I want Jean to do then.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Who's he going for? You?
For Blanche, yeah.
Blanche, okay. So Jean, kind of just pulls a spear back, and he's already kind of like wiping this off of you, just pulls the moss off of your scaly skin, off your shell. Just with a quick few movements, kind of tosses it down. His hand sort of burning with it. And he turns towards the door and just smashes it open.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, shoulder into the door.
Door snaps open, and all of you come to see Harlan Burnshaw standing towards the back of the room behind this creature, this Biza, stands in the middle, wailing and screaming out.
Does Jean have any movement?
He has 30 feet.
Okay,
let's... It's going to cost him... No, he's right at the door. Yeah, 30 feet.
Right, so let's say that he shoulders through the door and ends up, just based off of his momentum, a couple squares through the door next to Harlan.
Okay, I like that. Just let him... Harlan, are you all right?
Oh, fix it out. Glad you're here now.
All right, let's stand together.
Okay. Okay. This would be Diva Luma's turn.
But she's dead!
She is very much dead. You hear, like, the top of the round, you hear the just sort of fizzing as, like, this moss, almost like an acid, is eating through. You see parts of the floor begin to fall away. In fact, I'm going to say, like, her body being burned by this, on the floor beneath it.
Oh, you see cool. The
floor beneath her, and that one spot just burns out. The wood sort of falling, and Diva Luma's body just... collapses down. Then down below there's like a morning room. So it'd be like right down on top of some like coffee table. Just smash. She's just gone.
That has got to lower the property value.
Let's do something fun. Let's do something very.
There's
very
that phrase again.
There fun. We go again.
Yes. Jean stands before the Biza, who again just like having finished this wailing scream, this thing that's more feral, more. terrifying its appearance. And it spins around. It looks around at all of you. Oh, who do I pick? Harlan and Blanche.
That's me.
Yes. I need you to make a saving throw. I need you to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. I'm going to make a wisdom saving throw. And I have my bardic that I can use.
Yes.
After the roll, but before the result.
After the roll, before the result, and with a saving throw.
Wait.
What?
Don't make the throw yet. So I want to describe what's going to happen to you. I want to describe you why you're making that saving throw before you make it. We see Harlan, this thing like reaches out, hand kind of outstretched, and maybe some of this red mist like flies sort of off in a beam, kind of covering his features for a moment. His eyes close. I'll make his throw first. Oh, excellent. He does fail. Good, good. I needed that. Harlan's features sort of darken as he turns towards Jean, just you, this rage building veins, and he slides in to attack.
I hate the Beza.
Oh, you're going to hate the Beza so much.
That's why you gave me the button back.
That will miss, though, with a 16.
Okay, I mean, good, I think.
Jean just turns, what? And ding, it parries off as a shield as he kind of leans backwards, the blow almost taking him. But Blanche, you don't see this. You don't see any of this, because as this haze strikes you, as your eyes fill with this red, I want you to tell me one thing that you just really don't like about Jules LaRoche. What's something that annoys you about Jules LaRoche? A habit of his? Something.
I just wish, I mean, it's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning. You should make your bed. You've already gotten one task out of the way, accomplished to start the day.
I'm just going to mess it up at night again.
Memories of little tidbits of argument flooding into your mind. Slovenly. He has no discipline. Obviously grew up on the streets. Obviously just never learned to be a soldier. You think about this and it fills you with this rage, this anger. And with your blade already set to shadow strike.
Oh, you ass.
You feel your hands turning towards him, your blade pointing towards him, because you're just so very mad. Let's go ahead and make your save, Blanche.
Wisdom?
It is wisdom. It is wisdom. Oh. Oh. Oh!
And we'll call it there.
What? What? No!